Gracious Father, send to us your Holy Spirit, that in hearing your word we might receive it by faith and thereby be your sons and daughters for eternity. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 40th through the 42nd verses. Hear now the word of God. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of the little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. These three verses find themselves in the midst of a long discussion that Jesus is having with his disciples. If we move back to the 9th chapter, we find that Jesus has been going about in Galilee. He's been preaching, he's been teaching, he has been performing miracles. In other words, this is the time of his ministry in the Synoptic Gospels, or specifically in Matthew, when there are crowds around. People want to be there around him. And he's doing miracles and all those things. And at the end of the 9th chapter, we read these words. Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said it to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And then, starting the 10th chapter, he prepares to send out the 12, the apostles. He begins by naming those apostles. And what you find in the Gospels, when you ever see the list of apostles, Peter is the first one always listed first. Guess who's always listed last? Judas Iscariot. And so then he talks about, I'm getting ready to send you out to do the things that I have been doing because the harvest is plentiful, great, but the workers are right. And he tells them what they're going to do, but don't go to the Gentiles. That broke my heart. Don't go to me? Why weren't you going to send them to me, Jesus? Well, they needed to learn how to go to their own people. He says, go to the lost sheep of Israel. Go to your people. You're going to go to your people, the people you know their backgrounds, you know the things they're doing. I want you to go to them first. Sharing the good news of the kingdom, healing, all those things. That's what you're supposed to do. And just know that they're going to reject you. They're going to reject you like they're going to eventually reject me. And so they do that. I am so grateful that Matthew includes that the 28th chapter, he tells them as he's up in Galilee and he gives them the Great Commission, he tells them to go to all the world, and that includes you and me, right? So in the midst of this, passages in the end of the 9th chapter and the 10th chapter, first he's sending us out, and then in our scripture is talking about us being willing to receive those that God has sent to us. Does that make sense? We're supposed to go as disciples, and we're supposed to receive those that God sends us or Christ sends us. In a way, it's about hospitality. The Great Commission is about going and receiving. Some people are challenged when it comes to hospitality. Some of us have never really tried to develop a skill set of hospitality. We're just kind of clumsy about that. And it's not that we just don't want to do it. There are other things we would rather know how to do. And then there are other people, and you probably have known some of these people, they have hospitality streaming out of their pores, just like somebody sweating on a hot day. A guy that I grew up with, he and his wife, you couldn't help but have a good time whenever you were in their presence. If they had a party, you wanted to go because it was going to be a good party. And if you invited them to your party or over to your house when you were going to have other guests, it made your party even better because they knew how to celebrate each other. And when I did his eulogy, I mentioned that in the funeral. And I asked the question, how many of you had ever had a bad time with this guy if you were at his house or with him? And nobody raised their hands. They dripped hospitality. It's a beautiful thing. It's one of our cornerstones here at Kingswood is to be radically hospitable, to welcome those that God sends to us, right? We're supposed to do that. It's who we are. We're supposed to care for one another as congregational care, but we're also supposed to be hospitable. We really are. And doing some research for this week's sermon, I was reading in a commentary, Dr. Gettler, he was at Yale Seminary. He had met a lady by the name of Siobhan Garrigan. And Miss Garrigan was telling him about a time where she was doing research for a book she was writing, and she had gone to Northern Ireland. And on this first Sunday she was there, she decided to go to a Presbyterian church. She's walking up to the front door of the church, and these two ladies, she thought they were ushers or greeters, they were there, and they spoke to her and invited her into a conversation. Very quickly into that very beginning, they asked her her name, and that kept some more conversation going. And then some other people came up and they invited them into the conversation, and then she discovered that what the two ladies were doing was not being so much hospitable, but they were trying to decide if the people who were coming up were Catholic or not. And if they said their name was a Catherine or Maria or Patrick, they would pull them to the side and say, "I think you will enjoy the Catholic church down the street better." Oh my gosh. Can you believe that people would actually do that at a church? We certainly have never done anything similar to that, have we, as a people? In our country? In our town? In our church? We do. I remember as a youth and when the Methodist Church became the United Methodist Church. I don't know about where you lived and where you were, but there was a period of time that when after that happened, there were people who were racist. And they left the United Methodist Church because they didn't want to be in church with African Americans. The possibility. My second year in ministry, the North Georgia Annual Conference took up an offering for an orphanage that they were starting in Sierra Leone. This was 99, I think it was. They had a children's choir from Sierra Leone come, and they worshiped with us, and they did a great job, and we were taking up this offering for this orphanage. At that time, there was a lot of death in Sierra Leone from AIDS. In fact, at that time, the largest industry in all of that country was coffin making. There was great need because of the number of people who had AIDS and were dying from AIDS. And that's why there was a great need for an orphanage. And I was sharing this with an adult Sunday school class, our only adult Sunday school class in my little church, the church where I was the pastor, and they had about 30 of the adults in the sanctuary. And I was sharing that, if nothing else, be in prayer for this offering and the people of Sierra Leone as we try to build this, help pay for this orphanage for these people. And a man said, as I was sitting down, let them take care of themselves. Lord, the Holy Spirit wanted me to say something. And all I could come out was, they're God's children, and if we want to be God's children, we need to help our brothers and sisters. He wasn't known to be a very generous man in the world, but the Holy Spirit moved in him, and that little church managed to give the most he had ever given for a bishop's offering, $1,500, because they understood that they were the brothers and sisters of those people in need. We are to receive, and we are to go. And the harvest is, but the workers are. You see, one of the things I've come to understand in my own life is, not only are we to go make disciples, sometimes we need to go share. We need to move outside our comfort zone and to go places. And when we see somebody, we need to be willing to give a cup of cold water. Give them the water of life, the bread of life. Because people need to know that. And then there are times when Jesus sends people to us. Did y'all know that? People need a place to be, a community of faith to be, and they might move. And I believe Jesus has a way of sending people our way. And they plant, and they use, they get plugged in, and they share their gifts and graces in a new way here. And we need to embrace those people that God sends to us that way. Amen. Please say amen. Say it loudly. We got some people here who just joined the church. They need to know that we really want them to be here. Amen? Amen. Amen. God, send us some more. But I believe God sends us people who are hurting. People who need to know the love of Jesus. Need to know that they are wanted, they are desired, that there is a place here for the wounded. The brokenhearted, those who are lost, that are searching. God could have sent them here, and they're looking for somebody to do what only we have the tools to do. Because we're the ones who have Jesus in our hearts. You know, somebody is praying right now for their children, maybe their adult children, who live in Dunwoody. They're saying, Lord, lift up a group of Christians, a church, that will reach out to my children who are not plugged into a church, so that my grandchildren will have a place to learn about Jesus. You ever thought about that? Have you ever prayed for your children in a faraway town? That God would raise up people for them? Just a question. If you haven't, you need to. But somebody's praying for us to do what God has blessed us with. He didn't choose us for privilege. He chose us to serve Him, to honor Him, and to do for someone who is far away what they cannot do in the here and now, here. He sends our way people who are thirsty and hungry. And the question is, what are we going to do with the people God sends to us? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to give them a glass of cold water? Fresh water, living water that will quench the thirst of their souls. Are we going to give them the bread of life that gives them life? A community that they know that they're loved. They know that this is a place where they can learn more about Jesus, where they can serve in ministry and mission to the world. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are. Let's pray. Forgive us, Lord. You've called us to work in the vineyard. And when we do, we are blessed immeasurably. We know and we recognize the times in our life when you've used us beyond our gifts and graces. And what a blessing it's been. Every time we've been blessed more than whatever we've expended in time or money or whatever it is. So, Lord God, give us a heart for your work, for your ministry. Not only for the people you've called us to go and see, but to the people you've sent here. So that in what we do, in the way that we do it, would bring glory to your name. Not just today, but for eternity. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.